Good morning. I'm sorry for being late.
Okay, good morning.
So, this class... Good morning.
Good morning. Excuse me, I'm late.
Oh, I just got on myself, so I'm the one who is late.
Oh, well, my blessing.
Yeah, this class is basically to help improve people reading. And I didn't bring my computer, so we're not going to be looking at any grammar today. But we'll be talking about some of the different brachot, different blessings. And you got yours. So let me get you to the right page. I'm looking through a siddur to find the Modeh Ani. Well, but I'd rather you did this one because the font is.
Here's the case you need.
Thank you. Nancy, thank you for coming downstairs. It's on page 188. I'm sorry?
Modeh is the male?
Yes. Modas. Modas for female.
Modah?
Modah. Since you missed last week, why don't you go ahead?
Modah. Ani. Lufanecha, Melech, Chai, Lechayam, Shechechezarta, Bi, Nishmati, Bechemla, Rabba, Emunotecha.
Modeh or Modah, Ani, Lufanecha. Melech, Chai, Wichayam. Or the kayam. You're used to saying the vav, not the wav. The Sephardic minhag, the Sephardic custom, is to say with a W. There are two letters that have a V sound, the vav and the vet. I asked myself, and this is just the way I think. I asked myself, why does God need two B sounds? He has two S sounds, but it just doesn't make sense. There's no W sound. There's no W. I was happy. I am happy. I was. The W sound in Hebrew, in modern Hebrew, is made up of two vavs next to each other. And whenever the modern Israeli sees two vavs next to each other, they pronounce it wa. The Sephardic says the vav sound is truly wa. does the vav, how many letters, when we think about it, how many letters have two sounds? There are seven of them. Is the vav one of them? Bet, gimel, pay, bet, gimel, pay is three. The kaf is four. Trying to think of the other three right off the hand. No, we don't count the shin. That's a mother letter. So there's really eight sounds. Thank you. That sheet will remind me with what it is. The bet, the gimel, the kaf, the pay, the resh. So that's five. The kaf itself, the last letter, six. And what is the seventh letter? Is the vav. So those, when you see the vav at the beginning of a word, it's pronounced with a W sound.
Excuse me.
If the vav is in the middle of the word, sometimes it's tongue twisting to try and say a W in the middle of a word. And at the end of the word, it's usually an O or an U sound. So it's not really a vowel. So it can be very confusing what to say, how to pronounce the vav. But as you get used to the various brachot, the various blessings, it's good to remember at the beginning of the word, pronounce it with a W.
That's a Sephardic rule.
That is a Sephardic rule.
So if I do it with a vav, I'm not wrong.
You're not. It's not that you're wrong. Because the Ashkenazis don't pronounce the W. But your connection is lessened. The energy of your sound is lessened. And who are you saying the blessing for? Why do you have to say a blessing out loud? Can't I just think of the words?
It's more powerful if you say it out loud.
How many senses are you using when you read a brachot out loud? You're using your sight. You're using your hearing. You're using your
voice
or but you're focusing your attention in multiple ways. That's why we need to say it out loud, not just think it. Does God know what we're thinking? People think and believe or know that God knows what we're thinking. God is everywhere, meaning inside me as well as outside of me. God is everywhere, and he knows everything that's going on. That is our understanding of the infinite consciousness of Hashem. So when we say out loud, we're using multiple senses. Am I using touch? No. Am I using smell? No.
Could I? Could I involve the smell? Could I have it? If I were praying in a place where I could open up a jar of cinnamon, and I'm just using that as an example, that smell would go all over that area, and I would be able to smell it. I could include it. I could include touching when children first will learn to read. You touch the letters. When a three-year-old child in the cheder in Eastern Europe used to go into school to learn, first letter he was taught was the aleph. But how was he taught the aleph? They would put honey on the letter. They'd write the letter, and then they'd put honey on the letter. And when the child learned the letter properly that same day, he was told to lick the letter to show the sweetness of the learning. So all these senses can be included. But as a practical matter, you're going to say brachot where there's not good smells. You're not going to say it where there are bad smells, but you're going to say it where there are no smells. But if you're saying a brachot about over food, you can smell the food. It's sitting in front of you. Use the strive to make as strong a connection as possible to everything that you do. You've heard the modern term, stay in the now. Be aware of what you're doing. When you go to the synagogue and you pray, the reason you are praying out loud is because you need to hear the prayer. You are the one being changed. God's not being changed.
That's why I don't like Toby saying, listen, say.
Yeah, Toby is, say it to him. Tell him you don't like that and why. He's not going to bite your head off.
I know.
You tell him, I tell him. But his training is 70 years long. His training is based on traditions that go back into Europe. His training was based on traditions that were not Kabbalistic. And there are differences. They're not.
Philosophical.
They're not philosophical differences. They're energy differences. The Kabbalah is. When there's a halakha, there's a law that says XYZ. And then you read in the Zohar the same idea, but in a different way. And the question is asked, what halakha is higher? Because there are different levels of halakha, just as there are different levels of people. There's different levels of things that we do. We all know sometimes I'm not aware of what I'm doing. Sometimes I'm going through the motions. Do I inject energy when I go in through the motions? Am I being passionate about what I do when I'm going through the motions? The answer is no. When you do an action, inject consciousness. Be in the now. What are you doing? Rabbi Berg, who started the Kabbalah Center, was an Orthodox trained rabbi. He started learning at the age of 3. When I met him, he was in his late 60s. he memorized Modani like I told you to do. But if he was able to read it, he read it. He had by his bed a siddur where he would open it up and he would read it instead of memorizing. Why? Because he was injecting additional concentration. When you read something, you hear it more clearly than when you just say it as a memorization. What do I mean by you hear it more clearly? Do you really hear it more clearly? The words are the same. They're coming out of your mouth and going into your ears. But you're injecting that consciousness of seeing the letters at the same time. And that takes more focus, more passion, more awareness. Saying a brachot, we all say it. You can say it 1,000 times a day. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. What's the difference? Was I louder with one and softer with the other? Yes, but no. I was more aware of what I was saying. I was injecting passion into the first one that I didn't inject into the second. What do you want to do? What's your purpose in saying a bracha?
Awareness.
Awareness of Hashem. What's the difference between, I'll tell you a metaphorical story. It's a true story. I'm not sure which of the Hasidic Rebbe's this applies to, the story is told about. But he was studying with a student and they were taking a break. And the student was thinking, the break they were taking was a snack. There was some apples on the table, so they each took an apple. The student said a bracha and ate the apple. The Rebbe took a bracha, said a bracha, and ate the apple. The student started to think, what's the difference between the Rebbe and I? I said a bracha and I ate the apple. He said a bracha and he ate the apple. What's the difference? The Rebbe, who could read his thoughts, and whether you accept that as truth or not, it happens. The Rebbe said to him, you know what the difference is between you and I? You said the bracha, you ate the apple, to feed your body because you were hungry. But you said it perfunctorily. It was just a bracha to get through so you could eat the apple. When I said the bracha, I was focused on giving pleasure to Hashem because he created that apple for me to have, for me to have that pleasure. If I say the bracha perfunctorily, how much pleasure can I receive? But if I say it with concentration, with awareness, my whole world is that pleasure. When we sit at a dinner table, and we have conversation while we're eating. It's very human, isn't it? We don't eat alone, generally speaking. We want company. when we're having conversation and those words are words of Torah, concepts of Torah, that pleasure of that meal is multiplied. When we're saying gossip, chas v'shalom, what's happening to that food? Do I feel pleasure in that? God forbid.
The they're enjoying the gossip.
Yes.
They're enjoying
their
food more.
Let's go on to, it's your turn to say the mocha.
I'm going to have to the tabs with the F.
It's not that you're having trouble. You just have to going through your conversion from Ashkenazi to Sephardi.
I want to. I'm not Ashkenazi.
After 94 years, you don't want to convert?
My God.
Hi. With Kayam. I heard it. You're getting the conversion. Sorry, Tom.
The God is right.
The God is it. Mm-hmm.
Checha.
Yes. Emuna. Emuna. Techa, correct. That's it. Now, I'm just going to turn one page. To what we talked last week, but you got to go a few others.
The washing hands.
The washing hands. Actually, let's read it. It's on page 195.
Exactly.
You're going to read the English first. Starts here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're on the wrong side of the page. It's right to left. Oh, you're reading the English.
Yeah.
The English is underneath the words.
Yeah.
So it's...
So, okay, I got you.
Would you like me to do it?
I'll read it to myself.
Oh, to yourself? Okay. So I'll read it out loud. You read it to yourself.
Yes, I do. Again, I thought of the King of us. Who has by us is with his commands and as
one below it. The last one on the page, and it'll roll over. I think it rolls over. But let me read the English.
I will read it better.
Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, the King of the world, or the King of the universe, who gives the rooster the understanding to distinguish between day and night. This is the first of the 18 morning blessings.
Modeh's not the first?
No, Modeh isn't a blessing.
Oh.
Doesn't say Baruch Atah Hashem.
Why?
That's a formula that's... When you go into deeper levels, that formula is connecting to the Sephirot.
That mentions about a rooster.
What does it say there? Oh, that's a different one. I got here late. I didn't oversleep, but I got here late. And I'm still... Page 196 is where I'm looking. Where it is. No, that's of the Torah. Yeah, no, you're right. That's what you were reading, because it was the washing of the hands, the first one. If you can, it helps you to see because of it. It's large print.
Good, it's large print, and it also gives you an English.
As you're reading it.
Helpful.
I agree.
Trying.
It's also too. It's a heavy book, and it's hard to hold up.
We missed you at game night last night.
Oh, that's
nice. Where'd you go?
On page 199, the last line, and then it goes to page 200.
That's fine.
Baruch Atah Hashem Eloheinu Melech Haolam Anotein.
What? I'd share.
What's it say?
I'd share.
It's the top of the 200.
Natan Lani. No, Natan was Chef Biddy. Bina. Ha ha.
Gives the understanding. He gives the rooster the understanding.
I can't sleep now.
Who gave the heart understanding to be, distinguish between day and night.
Oh.
It's not the same blessing, exactly, but it's the same blessing. Because it's basically saying, how do we understand that there's a difference between day and night? What is day and night?
Darkness and light.
On a physical level, the sun is up, it's day. The sun is down and the moon is up, it's night. Is that what we're saying? The traditional blessing is different than what they've got there. The one I'm reading is the traditional one. It's been there. When I was a boy, I was taught this in the Ashkenazi. But as the generations grow and they change, people were saying, you know what a rooster does?
Crow.
It crows. When does it crow?
In the morning.
No, it crows.
Daybreak.
It crows at midnight. Roosters crow at midnight. But if you don't live on a farm, you don't know that. You think, like we were taught as little children, we live in a city, you never heard of a rooster crow? They crow at daybreak because it's the difference between day and night, isn't it? But that's not true. There is a process of revealing light. The sun, when the sun comes up, it's already 6 hours late. At midnight, the energy of darkness starts to lose the battle to the sun, to the energy of light. Have you ever woken up at 3 in the morning?
Every night.
Isn't it a calm time of day? There's no noise.
Go back to sleep.
You can go back to sleep, or you can stay up and study. The best time to study is after midnight and before 6. Because when the sun comes up, it's time to pray. But that calmness, that serenity that you can feel at night. I told you once that I became homeless for a few months. And when I started to get a job, I got a job in the produce market. The produce market opens up at midnight, actually about 10 p.m. And it closes at 8 a.m. The farm trucks come in with the produce to this produce market, and the stores come and buy the product at night. The energy of being out and about in those hours, it's such a different perception.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. No, even when you first start, you have to get used to the change. It takes you a few weeks, sometimes a couple of months, to get used to the change. But
don't think that worked nice?
Yes, they do. I did. But that energy of sleeping during the day and then getting up at night and dealing with that. Just, it's such a serene energy. Whenever I want to be in, calm myself down, I just think of that energy because it was so amazing. I highly recommend one night just for you to do that. Get up at 2, 3 in the morning, get dressed, and go outside and sit on a bench and listen. Well, the Kabbalists, they always call us Cuckoo Kabbalah, so. Thank you. You're enjoying that, Hannah?
When I'm mute, it cuts me off, so I'm going to have to watch when I giggle.
It's all right.
It's all right.
It's nice to hear a giggle. If you didn't hear what Trudy said.
Okay, well, you can, Trudy, I really giggled when you told about rolling in the snow. So,
that's
you know,
true.
We all giggle. With Cuckoo Kabbalah. You know.
It's Cuckoo Kabbalah, there's no question. I was teaching about the mikveh, and the highest mikveh is to go rolling in the snow. So.
Naked?
Yes.
Oh.
After midnight, so nobody can see you. And it has to be freshly fallen. That's why we call it Cuckoo Kabbalah, because we do very strange things that are not normal as far as normal society thinks. But from the standpoint of energy, there's the things I'm suggesting are really important. It enhances your understanding of the energy. Because what this blessing is saying, it's not saying the rooster has been given the understanding of the difference between day and night. It's saying that the rooster has been given the understanding to know the difference between good and evil. Is the day good and night evil? These are code words. The Torah doesn't say that night is evil. It's not. But in our society, darkness is considered negative relative to day. Because you can't see at night. So it's a code word. It's night. We all know what night means. But we don't realize that when we say night, we're saying evil. Because we cannot see. What are we in this world to do? To reveal Hashem's light. To reveal Hashem's goodness. What is goodness? Being able to see. As we age, people come up with this macular degeneration. They come up with it's Isaac's eyes were dim, right? It's harder. It's harder to read. It's harder to see. You receive less, harder to hear. You receive less blessings, less pleasure. As you age, your body doesn't work the same way. Every time you move your shoulder, you want to stop because it hurts. Is that true for everybody? No. Not everybody has these problems. But everybody has these problems because the majority of people as they age get to these kinds of issues. But not everybody. What's the difference between the person who has these issues and the person who doesn't at the same age? And I'm not saying, because every one of us at this table has these kinds of pains, has these kinds of limitations. And I'm not saying that we should feel badly about ourselves because of it.
Yes.
The difference is the person who doesn't have those pains didn't do the negative actions earlier in their life that caused this. Can you stop it? Can you change it? Can you bring it back? The answer is yes, but that takes teshuvah. That takes understanding, what did I do in my 20s, in my teens, in my 40s? What did I do that causes me to lose these faculties?
One could probably write a book.
One will write a book. But each person has different actions that they did. Sometimes it's the same action, but generally not. Generally, it's relative to each person. But we're not taught in our society to think, I got sick because of something I did. I got sick because people get sick. That is the answer. That you go to a doctor, why did I get macular degeneration? And if he might tell you because your optic nerve has this kind of problem. But that's not why your optic nerve has that kind of problem. It's because your optic nerve is affected by the negative action you did earlier, and you didn't do teshuvah in time. Can you do teshuvah now and restore the sight? The answer is yes. But it is much harder to do teshuvah as you're losing your sight, because you need to read. You need to say these blessings. You need to do it. You need to make that effort. Good deeds. Mitzvot are good deeds. Confession is part of teshuvah. Teshuvah we do. The English translation of teshuvah is repentance. But what does repentance mean? I'm sorry I did the action. I'm sorry I did that. Do you really mean it when you say it? I stepped on your toe. I'm sorry, please forgive me. How many times have we done that? Did we really mean, I'm sorry, I stepped on their toe? Baruch Hashem. But there are a lot of people who say, I'm sorry, and they don't mean it. Teshuvah, I truly am sorry. Not only am I truly sorry, but Hashem is testifying in the spiritual court, this person will never do that again. How many times do we say, I'm sorry, and really mean I'll never step on another person's toe? I'm sorry I stepped on your toe because I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't looking where your toe was. Does it mean I won't step on somebody else's toe?
Thank you. Oh,
yeah, exactly. Isn't that what the world does?
I'm asking you for teshuvah.
I don't, because the humor is part of the teshuvah. I'm sorry if I'm causing you pain talking about it, but it's truth. I have to teach truth. And for whatever reason, that what I've been saying was needed to be heard by each person at this table and each person on the recording. Because every one of us has pains. And the pains are not supposed to be there. Why are they there? Because I have done some action that hurt someone else. Or I didn't do an action, and that caused someone else pain.
And Happy's pain was being your aging, your maturing. By maturing, you have to be bored. You have to maybe find you have aches and pains.
You were telling me that there's a woman lives in the Jewish Tower. She's 101 years old. She just had a birthday. Somebody threw her a birthday. And she says she walks without pain. She's alert. She's bright. She's not having the eye issues. She does. Okay. All right.
She depends upon me. The deaf, helping the deaf, the blind, helping the blind.
But what I'm really trying to point out is that she's living to an older age because she didn't do actions that hurt people when she was younger.
She goes to dark quest.
Well, a lot of bad people live to be old.
Why do good things happen to bad people? I explained to you what it is. It's reincarnation. Because you're looking in this lifetime only. What about the previous 1900 lives?
Someone said that why is a good person dying early? Because they want their power to be perfect. So they get, he dies, so he doesn't have kids to school. I'm sorry.
No, you're telling truth also. What in the Bible there's the story of David and Bathsheba, and the Hittite is the husband of Bathsheba. And the Hittite dies in war. Why did he die in war? Because Bathsheba was going to marry King David. But in order for that to happen, the Hittite had to be divorced. And then he would watch King David be with his queen, Bathsheba. And that would cause him so much pain because he truly loved her. It wasn't his soulmate, but he loved her. Seeing her with King David would cause him so much pain that Hashem in his mercy took him out of the world. So what you just described is very true. People die young because they've finished their tikkun. They were only in this world to be alive for so many years. This is why children die. They only have something in their previous life they didn't do during those children years. So they come, they fix that, and then there's no reason for them to stay and live in this pain, this world of pain and suffering. So they're taken away. And yes, they leave pain to the parents. But that's what the parents need to feel to correct what they're doing. It's harsh for me to make that statement. Doesn't mean I cannot sympathize or even empathize with the pain that that person is going through, what the parents have to experience. Of course I do. But doesn't mean that I can't tell you the truth. The way the system works. That's what the study of Kabbalah does. It teaches you how the system works. Would you rather know how it works? Or would you rather not know and just have all these surprises? it's better to have the explanation. Sometimes that can be extremely painful, and for that I am sorry. And that's, and the humor is how we cope with that pain.
They say they can't love it.
Right. Correct. But it also, they're saying it now about women, because women are a part of the minions now.
Sorry, I had to.
Don't be sorry you had humor.
Serious problems.
This bracha
getting back to the booster. I don't think the booster grows at midnight. So
were you ever living on a farm?
I don't know if I lived on a farm or I saw the movie, but
oh, well, the movie you can trust the movie, right? They never tell you a story.
They're asleep too. They can't. Maybe they feel it, but they don't fall. I think they fall in the morning here.
If Joe was here, I'd ask him to go home to his computer and look up when does a ask the question, when does a rooster crow?
When they answer it.
They do answer it. The smartphone will answer it.
My husband says, my wife has a smartphone, which is very dumb.
Chas v'shalom.
I heard that you said. All right, enough. I'm keeping my mouth closed. Enough.
I heard this morning because somebody sent me a list. Personalities or actions based on birth order.
What?
On birth orders. So the firstborn makes the rules. The middleborn is the reason we need the rules. And the youngest, the rules don't apply to them. For me, I found that very funny. But it's also, there's an element of truth. There's always an element of truth in humor. We're out of time, but we'll do this again next week. But not with the adding to the pain. But looking into teshuvah is something that's highly recommended. On the conference call, are there any questions?
No questions. But I was really pleased that you mentioned the consciousness with the blessings, because with this being the month of Shabbat and it's almost over, one of our teshuvah for Shabbat was conscious eating, and a reminder that conscious blessings go with conscious eating, I thought was good for me to hear again today. So I thank you for that.
You're welcome. Oh, as you mentioned, conscious eating. The students of Kabbalah, as part of their training, when you say the bracha over the hamotzi, over the challah for Shabbat, and then chew each bite 100 times, concentrating, it's an amazing experience. You have a beautiful evening.
Okay, you too.
Enjoy your food.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom gadol.
Shalom.